Welcome back to the Successful Diligence Podcast. I am so grateful that you are back for another episode. Please do take note that all opinions and recommendations and encouragements that are shared on this podcast are my personal opinion or the opinion of the guests that I have on. It is not to be taken as medical or mental health advice. Please do consult your medical professional or your mental health professional with any questions or changes that you would like to make regarding your own personal situation. Welcome back to the Successful Diligence Podcast. I am so grateful you are back for another episode. I say it every episode. I mean it from the heart every single episode. Thank you. Thank you for being here. Thank you for listening. Thank you for sending your feedback, your comments, your thoughts, your jokes to successfuldiligence.com/contact. Or the most fun is when you all send voice messages through the link in the podcast. I love getting those voice messages. You all are hilarious. I have the best audience ever. And I personally answer every email, every voice message, and you are so appreciated. So thank you for being here. And as you know, that's why I'm so committed and dedicated to bringing value-added conversations with amazingly, incredibly value-added human beings. And I am so excited today, audience, guys, listeners, I'm so excited for you to meet my guest today, Dr. Brian McElderry. Now, for those who are not familiar, you are going to want to get a journal, a notebook, a pad of paper, a sticky note, something, even your hand, something to write with, because he is going to drop knowledge, wisdom bombs, gold bars, this entire conversation. Trust me, you do not want to have to pause and rewind. Get your notebook, get your pen. Now, for those who are not aware, Dr. Brian, among the amazing other parts of his personal human being, is a holistic life and business coach, speaker, podcaster, author, and founder of not one, not two, but three businesses: McElderry Ventures, Alchemy Credit Solutions, and Zaire Investments. Now, he didn't start out as a business owner though, y'all. After earning his Bachelor's of Science in Chemistry from Morehouse College, shout out, he went on to earn a doctorate in pharmacy from St. Louis College of Pharmacy. And in 2016, so you know he's not a Gen Zer, y'all, but in 2016, shortly after pharmacy school graduation and the passing of his grandmother from mismanagement of medications, Dr. Brian founded his holistic health coaching practice, Envision Health, which enabled him to part ways with the practice of pharmacy after only 1 year of graduation, after 1 year post-graduation. So he graduated, created and founded his coaching practice, Envision Health, and was able to leave the practice because of the success of his business after 1 year. Now, fast forward to November of 2018, and realizing that many of his clients were making changes outside of the health aspect and were becoming more deeply interested in improving their relationships, their personal development, and overall general fulfillment and happiness in life, Dr. Brian founded another coaching arm of his practice, life and business coaching. That's where that was born. And currently, not to be outdone by himself, he added on the Alchemy Mastermind, which is the primary house currently where he helps thought leaders, coaches, consultants, career professionals break their internal barriers, shift their identity, and uncover their zone of genius to turn their purpose into profit. Now, in addition to all of these businesses, including a new one that we will probably talk about, Dr. Brian is also a sought-after speaker, both virtually on Clubhouse, as well as pre- and post-COVID in-person venues. Y'all, I am so excited to introduce to you Dr. Brian McElderry. Welcome to the show.
Hello, my friends. I appreciate you so much, Michelle. Amazing, amazing introduction. And you have an amazing podcast. And I'm so grateful to be here. Audience, y'all are doing a good justice, a good deed by continuously listening to this woman, because she's doing some amazing work. And I've listened to a lot of her guests, and I'm glad to be one of them now.
high compliment. I receive every affirmation and positivity from Dr. Brian. Y'all have no idea what we are about to get into. So, Dr. Brian, for the one or two listeners who may be listening, who have no idea who you are, and they're like, what is this? Why are we so hype at the beginning before we've said anything? Introduce yourself beyond the bio for those listeners who are new to you, and give us a little bit of insight about how you came to do the work that you do.
Yeah. So I'm from Birmingham, Alabama, born and raised. You may not hear any Southern accent wondering where this is. I lost it when I started to edumacate myself. So still go back to the same household. Parents are fortunate enough to be together still, even through their woes. So I'm glad to have that still in my life. I was raised kind of middle class. I always tell people that I was raised to where my brother and I, my younger brother, we never really had to long for things. Things were provided, but never the to the point where we weren't having to understand the value of hard work. I got my first job at 15 and a half years old, making my own money, try to do my own thing and pay for things that I wanted. But matriculating through there, I found that any young boy, any young girl, there's a point in their life when the people in their life, maybe your parents were not in your life, but somebody in your life asked you, hey, what do you want to be when you grow up? And there was that point, and I remember it to this day, and I think it's the most crippling question that a child can be asked, because you're limiting to one specific answer at an adolescent age, right? And the only thing that I knew was what I was good at school, which I enjoyed science and I enjoyed biology and I enjoyed like the creatures and the science projects and stuff. And I said, well, I guess I'll be a doctor. And my parents said, yeah, it sounds like a great idea. They make good money. Why not? There's actually a little picture of me, I think at about 4 or 5 years old or something, where I was wearing a doctor's uniform and doctor's outfit. And I went through high school. And I found out that I did not longer wanted to be a physician, because I saw the first piece of blood. And I said, no, that's enough of that.
Not for me, said Dr. Brian.
Not for me. So that's when my shift in understanding where I wanted to go came into pharmacy. So I wanted to be a pharmacist at the age of 17, 18 years old. I already knew that. So I entered Morehouse, went on golf scholarship to Morehouse College, and then matriculated to pharmacy school. But I lived, I would say, a very good childhood. But at the same time, I'm learning now as an adult, there was a lot of things that were withheld, a lot of things that were not generational. It was just what the parents knew was taught to them. And as we know, as adults listening on this podcast, that's why we're here, to try to find balance and try to find a way to just live our life holistically so we can be overall well. Yeah.
Now, I got to tell you, I had no idea that there was such a thing as a golf scholarship.
It surprises a lot of people when I post on social that I'm swinging. They're like, hold up now. Where's this coming from? I played sports growing up, just like any, you know, most young boys, you try to get into sports. I played football. That was my main sport, but I stopped growing and I broke my collarbone in high school. And my dad got into golf as an African-American man. He did not play until he got into corporate, right? And to get into the conversations and, you know, the deals and things like that, he had to learn how to play. So he used to take my brother out, myself and my brother out to the course and just say, hey, you know, just swing it, see if you like it. And we just fell addicted to it. But we were in the era of Tiger Woods when he was in his prime, right? So to see that on TV and to see the fist pumps and like the engagement and the roars, like I was like, man, like this is exciting, like football, right? So yes, to your question. Yes. I don't want to belabor the point, but yeah.
Well, what I love about it though, because it adds a dimension to your story about what I pulled from what I heard. And listeners, you can let me know if you picked up on this as well, is that you had sort of the quote unquote all-American childhood, right? Where you weren't you weren't necessarily of the wealthy, but you mm-hmm. definitely were comfortable, you mm-hmm. know, weren't aware of not needing or wanting. If you wanted something, you know, Christmas always showed up, sort of mm-hmm. thing.
Yep.
And yet you still had to be adaptable, right? And your father demonstrated that for you by adapting and gaining new skills, opening up different doors. But yet there were still things behind the curtain that as an adult, you can look back and say, interesting. Now yeah. I understand what that was. The subtext, the things that children, we don't have language for, but we notice we pick up on that impact us and influence our decisions and behaviors, even without knowing where that actually came from. And what I really want to unpack with you is you are so eloquent and you are so well versed in unpacking those exploration, those curiosity parts of ourselves that uncover those things that we previously didn't have language for, right? Mm-hmm. That are driving our current behaviors, which then drive our current life circumstances and outcomes and all of those things. And I know that there's a depth to your story that I think will come out in this question. Mm-hmm. As you were leaving the pharmaceutical arena, going into coaching, adapting yourself, right? Exploring yep. and uncovering within yourself. How did you manage that? Talk to me about the journey of your life going in the ups and downs and waves. And how did you get to a place of living well? And what does living well even mean? So that's sort of three questions in one.
You see what she does to me here? I started to simplify a lot of the things that I used to be. I was always an overthinker. I wouldn't say an overachiever. I was just an overthinker. I always questioned everything, but questions, as you know, Michelle, there's a limit to where the questions can become detrimental because you're questioning things and then you're putting a question of why this can't happen. And then you go down this rabbit hole.
And the rabbit hole can get dark if you allow it to.
Exactly. So I simplified it. All of us know the searching for why and the reason for why and diving down that rabbit hole. But I call it kind of my four W's, or just in this sequential order, where, who, why, and when. Okay. And what I mean by that is I begin to ask myself, where has Brian been? Who was Brian then? Why did those things happen for me? And when is a time for Brian to step into that or out of that experience? And for me, that allowed me to unpack seasons of my life. And I was attaching to this one version of Brian continuously. And I never understood that there was this adaptability, as you said, or pivot or shift that a person could make to literally change how they behave and how they show up for themselves and other people. And to answer your question about the ups and the downs and the waves, once I begin unpacking the small seasons and experiences by just asking, okay, where am I now? Who am I right now? And why is this happening for me? If I can answer those questions, then I can decide where do I go next, right? When's the pivot?
Yes. So listeners, I'm getting excited back here because you know, we talk about asking those new questions, right? Mm-hmm. Because the questions will impact who you are, where you go, and how you land.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Dr. Brian is known for his methodologies. So like I said, you need the journal, the four whys, right? And asking those questions and mm-hmm. answering them truthfully. And mm-hmm. that's a key, I think, that I just would love to throw out there, because you can answer the questions not in truth and take yourself down a path that will not lead you to where you ultimately want to be. So I just want to throw that out there. You gotta live in truth, y'all. But I love that, because the questions you ask yourself and the way you answer it determine where you go and who you become, right? Yeah. And I love what you said about shifting the narrative and the meaning of the questions and the answers to those questions, because that's really how you are intentional and use your superpower of choice to become the person you desire to be, you need to be, and you want to be, and then to do the things that you need to become that person. So, Dr. Brian.
Yeah.
Were you always, I know you said you were an overthinker, but that doesn't always mean that you're asking questions. And that doesn't always mean that you're attaching different meanings to the answers and rewriting the narrative of your story, right?
Yes.
How did you train your brain to think different?
Great question. Most of us that are listening, as I've gotten a little insight on who may be listening, we were raised in an era where we did not have a lot of exposure other than to people. I grew up in a cul-de-sac, right? I knew people in the cul-de-sac. I knew people, if you're from the South, hopefully you know what a cul-de-sac is. Or anywhere.
It's that circle. Little round circle.
Yeah, it's that round thing. We lived in a cul-de-sac. We know people next to us, our neighbors at church, school, and family friends, right? So I was only exposed to what I saw. And once I realized that that's the way Brian learns, and I had to learn that that's the way I learned, was exposure. So I go back home now to Alabama, and I see a lot of friends from high school and, you know, younger years, and they're still doing the same thing because they haven't been exposed. But for me, I have talked with, I don't know how many various amounts of people from all over the world at this point, right? So my exposure allows me to be able to see that something else is possible, or that life can be lived a different way. So once I begin kind of challenging that to myself and exposing myself to, that's interesting. I didn't know someone could make that much money without having degrees. You know, I didn't know that you could start that without having this, right? And when I saw that, I just begin answering those questions that I was asking earlier to your question, Michelle, a little bit more honestly. And then I begin testing the waters and training my brain to say, okay, how can I keep this ball rolling without having to have this constant input? How can I be the input for myself to output kind of the energy out into the world? So that's when routines and structures and the way I function every day begins to happen, whether that be reading, podcasting, writing, and we can get into those. But those all habits each and every day allows me to change my way of thought and my way of behavior as well.
I love that, because exposure, you keyed into something there. Mm-hmm. Exposure almost forces you to ask new questions, because you can't deny evidence. Like, your brain literally is evidence prone. You know, it's looking for the evidence in the world of what you tell it and what you experience to then bucket the meaning. So an experience can happen, but the meaning for that experience is a choice. Mm-hmm. And based on your exposure and the language and the development of where you are and the questions you're asking yourself, that allows you to attribute a specific meaning to an experience, which then can create a new neural pathway to a new narrative, and that causes growth. So that's my non-professional didactic contribution to that. That's what I got from what you said.
That was beautiful. I think that I think, interestingly enough, and I love the way this is flowing for audience. Hopefully you're enjoying this too. I think that for me, I operated on fear. I operated on safety. Our natural physiology operates as fight or flight. We need to protect ourselves consistently until you
freeze. We always forget to freeze. And I'm I was a freezer. Fight, flight, or freeze.
Yep.
Yes.
Yes.
Just for those other fellow freezers out there.
Exactly. And for anyone listening, like, this is how we function until exactly what Michelle said, which was we have choice, right? Oh, I need to stay protected. I need to make sure my family is good. I need to make sure. Yeah. But what extent are you restricting yourself from seeing the opposition? Meaning, what if I just open my arms up, or open my heart up, or open my mind up, that there's more possibilities and there's more growth and more abundance and finances, resources, whatever it is you're looking for in life, love, it's out there. And once I did that, it just, opened it up, because I've been broken down to the bare bones and have been risen back up. And it had to happen because I didn't make the choice. Right. And I think,
well, but you put the meaning of it had to happen for my good.
Yes.
That breakdown experience, right? Because it could have broke you and you could have stayed down there and attributed a different meaning to that, but you chose not to do that because of who you are, you know, and where you, and the people that are waiting for you to serve them. Cause y'all, when I tell you, his business are blowing up, but we'll get into that. But Dr. Brian, I guess this exposure thing is resonating so much because I come from New England. I was born in, grew up in New England, right? When I moved to California with my husband, I had no idea there was such a laid back way of life. Had no idea that hustle.
You just sit around.
hustle is not the foundation, right? And so often we think that what we know is all there is, but there's so much we don't know that we don't know. And what I love, and I say this often, listeners, you hear me on multiple episodes say this, that when the student is ready, the teacher will appear. And that doesn't just mean a person. Life experience comes to teach us, is my personal belief. And when you allow yourself to keep walking, walk in truth, ask those questions, those four W's, look down at your paper, those notes you took, what are the four W's that Dr. Brian mentioned? And you answer them truthfully, it's amazing what can happen for you that was already waiting for you to get there, right? And so, Dr. Brian, I want you to help us because coming from a hustle foundation that I've worked intentionally to change, you mentioned habits, routine, patterns to build a life that I know you enjoy living because you get up at 5:30 in the morning to watch the sunrise sometimes. So how do you do that? How do you live well? And how do you create those routines and habits and patterns that you're actually going to do that will result in the life that you really want to be living?
The first thing I always say is faith has to come first. And I don't mean in a biblical way for some people that are listening, being mindful of people and whatever their beliefs are, but you have to have faith that there's something outside of yourself. And what I found in me, just as an example, and for Michelle and many others that are listening, we feel like if we don't handle it, it doesn't get handled, right? If we don't get it done, it doesn't get done. And that's true to an extent, but to what extent is that coming from the where, right, that I asked earlier? Like, where and why is that happening and why do you do that? Maybe you didn't ever have support growing up and that's something that needs to be healed or whatnot. But I believe faith is the first thing that I had to start stepping back into. I grew up in the church, but it wasn't kind of a forceful thing. It was just, hey, we go to church, dress up, eat dinner and do that kind of thing. But I never knew what it meant to say, there's something outside of me, higher power, universe, billions of people in this world that is meant for Brian. And that's when I began seeing I've got to create space for that. So going down tangibly, I create space by actually physically giving myself space. So in the morning, I do nothing. I think stillness is something that a lot of people had a trouble with during quarantine. Michelle, you probably saw, I enjoyed it. I was sitting around creating content, sitting around like
I wrote and self-published my book.
Exactly. Exactly. So a lot of us enjoyed it, but during that stillness doesn't mean that you have to be alone, right? Stillness doesn't mean alone. Loneliness is different than alone. So I create space for that. To answer your question simplistically, step one is faith. Then I create space for that faith. Step two is I have some type of belief. So I have to establish a belief system within what I believe personally, right? So what that means is that when I'm creating space, I then have a belief system that I establish. So what does Brian believe about Brian?
Hold on pause for a moment, because listeners, did you catch this? Faith and belief are two different things. Church and faith are two different things. religion and faith are two different things, and yeah. creating space is something that you have to do intentionally. Mm-hmm. There is so much power just in those three, and we're not even done. Faith, mm-hmm. creating space for that faith, mm-hmm. and those answering those questions truthfully, and the space to really sit with that.
Yeah.
And then belief, exploring what is it that you truly believe, and being honest with the answer, because, and we've done episodes on this, listeners, so I'm not going to belabor the point, but what you believe is not what you say. And if you're honest with yourself, you will see what you believe if you explore it. Okay. So faith, making space, belief.
Yeah. After that belief is established, you have to believe something about yourself and something that you believe about the world. Right? Because that gets intertwined, because we attach ourselves to what society tells we should be acting like and doing and whatnot. And that's why for me and for many others that are very seemingly content or very calm or very stoic is because we've established that belief so firmly that it doesn't mean we're not open-minded to other people's, but it creates a barrier wall to know that I have boundaries, I can protect myself, but I stand firm in something. And
if you could see me, y'all, I'm sitting here laughing because Dr. Brian, I don't experience you as stoic or quiet at all. That's not my experience with you. And we've known each other for quite some time now.
I can explain.
And I think that's so interesting to bring out, because listeners, you may be having an experience with yourself that is not how other people experience you. And so that should be evidence to explore in your space that you're creating for yourself, to ask a question: why do other people see me as different than I see myself? Where is that coming from? Where is that coming from? When did this happen? Who am I really? And who do I say I am? Because I know I've had that experience, Dr. Brian, where I thought I was one way. Ooh, Lord have mercy. No, no. The world told me, no, Michelle, you is something totally different. And that's so important. So I just wanted to bring that out, because we create these stories and these narratives about who we are and what we can accomplish and what we can do. Well, I could never own my own business. I could never leave a 9-to-5. I could never, you know, leave that security. We create these stories and these narratives without really recognizing where it's coming from, as you said, and why we believe that. And so I just think that's so interesting.
Yeah. The interesting part that you brought out was stoic, meaning the narrative. I'm not sure if this is what you meant by that, but stoic to me always meant very standoffish, very firm, very kind of aggressive, or just that demeanor, I guess. But maybe we're on the same page here. And for this is for the audience. Stoicism is kind of a primary philosophy that I practice and I look into. So if you've heard of Marcus Aurelius and Socrates and Epictetus, these are all Stoic philosophers. And their premise was essentially, how do you handle hardships with ease, with grace, by challenging them and questioning them to come to a common ground? And that's, I never knew what that was. I didn't never knew why I was always given the, I was given the most consistent trophy. I was given, Brian is the person that can get along with everybody. And I never knew why I was so adaptable. To your initial question, Michelle, and for everyone listening, I begin trying to discover a community or a philosophy that dated back to time, because as we know, there's nothing new under the sun. The Bible tells us that, right? So for me, I was like, I can't be the only one that has thought about life in this way. Like, every hardship does not mean that life is over and it's the end. So once I found Stoicism, I knew that this philosophy was kind of something that makes sense, right? Every question
here. Interesting point here. And listeners, we've talked about this too, especially with one of our friends, Dr. Brian, Justin Atherton, about the power of words and language and understanding and making sure we're talking about the same thing. Because I had a different definition for Stoicism and Stoic than what you just described. I love Marcus Aurelius. And what you just described is resonating so strongly, but I don't associate that with the word stoic or stoicism, which is so interesting. Mm-hmm. And again, this speaks to you don't know what you don't know, and exposure to conversations, people, and ideas that can broaden your self-narrative, your story, and your definitions of really what is possible for you in your life. That was just a perfect unscripted example of that. And you are good, Dr. Brian. I am loving that.
That's why I feel like you were going, and I wanted the listeners to see that.
That's exactly where I was going.
Right? Like, I was like, I feel like the listeners needed to hear that exchange, because that's what I always thought. I was like, stoic is negative. And it, that demeanor of just standoffish and whatnot. But anyways, I challenge people that are listening, just go look it up. If you've ever heard of Ryan Holiday, Stillness is the Key, Ego is the Enemy books, he's kind of the modern day stoic philosopher that has brought it to a modern world for people to challenge the status quo and say, huh, did I ever think about it a different way? And the beauty in that, and we'll kind of round this out, the beauty in that is that every day I wake up, no, I don't feel wonderful and happy and great every single day. But when I know there's a question or a problem still looming, and I'm able to be like, huh, what's to come with COVID-19 tomorrow? What's to come with the economy the next day and the next quarter? It you look forward to something and trying to work to solve it, or either work to just find out more information about life and who can I connect with to have those discussions, just create so much more to live for, in my opinion.
I love that. And I love that there's resources you can go to, so that if you don't want to talk to a person, you can actually go and read and find out for yourself. I love that. I love that. I want to shift a little bit and talk about the courage that you implement on a daily basis to, number one, show up as yourself in the world that doesn't always celebrate who we are in authenticity, but also to create, to still continue creating while enhancing and modifying and serving so well without burning out, which, okay, balance, I'll say the word. I was trying to like define it without saying it. But how do you live well in purpose with balance? Like, how do you achieve that?
I'll start off this way, and I'll answer the question very directly and kind of give people actionable steps, right? Because that's why we're here. I gave everything to everybody before people see kind of the current version of me. I was in an 8-year relationship. I figured I'd give everything to somebody else and try to create this life that you want to live, right? You're trying to find a partner in life. She was my college sweetheart, and we grew together, went through school, all that. And I moved down to Dallas with her. At that time, I thought it was a perfect time to start my business and launch it and leave pharmacy. And we're getting a timeline here. And I said, wonderful. Everything's going well. I'm going to propose. So I proposed. After I proposed, we were engaged about 6 months, and I come home and everything is gone. Just, I know Michelle's heard this, but just everything is gone. Like, no explanation. If you're listening to this, like, just imagine an empty place from somebody that had you, nothing happened, right? That I could understand. And to Michelle's question and to the audience, kind of how do you balance and how do you not burn out, is when I realized that I was not giving myself enough self-love and enough time. That was the moment. It had to break me down to say, wow, I was doing so much for other people that I'd had nothing left for giving to what I wanted and who actually needed Brian, right? So if you're listening right now, how I tell people to balance is try to find a way that you can have your time. I call it immersion trips. I do one immersion trip a quarter. So I take time and I just go up somewhere. People are not maybe fortunate enough to travel somewhere every quarter, but just take yourself a weekend and take yourself out on a date. right? Just
and if you if you're not currently able to do that, talk to Dr. Brian. He will show you how to be able to travel for free. I got to put that plug in there because Dr. Brian, you would post on social media, and I'm going to post the social media links all below so listeners, you can click and go. But I remember the first time I saw your immersion trip, and I remember feeling some type of way because I was like, must be nice, right? To be able to just up and go away in the middle of the week for a week or however long you went for that time. And yeah. It was a beautiful beach and you were eating this wonderful vegan food because you're a vegan. You know, you were connecting with yourself. And I was so envious of that because I recognized and I already knew the truth that I was not giving that to myself and I desperately wanted and needed it. Mm-hmm. And so you inspired me to learn more about how to travel for free because, you know, homegirl ain't rolling like that.
Yeah.
But I too now on the books have an immersion trip for myself. Now it's semi-local, so those getaway cabins, which is just you in nature and whatever floats your boat, y'all. You can go, you know, to your local hotel. You could go sit in your car, you know, do whatever you got to do.
It does not matter.
But you inspired me and I love, and I want to bring this point out because I did what you did when you came home to that empty apartment, which was almost an image of you on the inside because you were empty because you hadn't invested in yourself. You were, gave it all to everyone else.
Yeah.
And what you chose to do with that created such depth of meaning that allowed you to serve at such a level that I don't think a lot of people tap into. Which I think is contributing to the success momentum that you're feeling now, and inspiring and motivating people to really put into action and implement these concepts that we talk about, but don't know how to do. And you know how to do it because you practically walked it out. Because listeners, what I always say, you can't give what you don't have, and you can't have it if you don't own it. You can't own it if you don't experience it. And Dr. Brian, you've walked the walk, you've talked the talk, you have the tools, the tips, the strategies, and the heart to serve that is just, I can't use any other word, but blessing so many people. And I'm personally grateful to know and be connected. And listeners, we have not even touched the tip of the iceberg and we are like almost out of time. I cannot believe it. So Dr. Brian, I know you've got your methods.
We might need a part two on this thing.
You know, and listeners, I've been known to invite people back. I don't know if you want to break Justin Atherton's record. He's been back 4 times. So I'm more than happy. Your official invitation is out there to come back. But for this conversation, what are like the one or two things you really want the audience to highlight, walk away with, circle in their journal of the notes they've been writing the episode? What is it you want them to really remember when we finish talking?
Yeah. The first thing I would say to anyone that's listening right now is that if you haven't asked yourself, not anyone else, but asked yourself, who am I and what do I deserve? And it might sound selfish, but who am I and what do I deserve to live the life that I want? And that can be all encompassing in a couple of questions and a takeaway, just kind of a statement. If you can just explore that, you don't have to write it down if you don't want to. I think there's power in pen to paper. But if you just sit for a second and say, who am I and what do I want? What do I deserve? And how can I maybe get it? So however you want to phrase it. But when you start exploring that, that's the first step. The second step is, who can I connect with to tell the good news? Who can I connect with who can share this experience with me? And you will find a lot of times it's typically not the closest people around you. I will tell you that for sure.
I echo that.
Yes. Yes. It will not be the closest people around you because they only know a version of you that they have been comfortable with and have seen and grown with. The new version seems scary. It seems intimidating. It seems like you are parting ways with them. And
challenges them to ask those questions as well.
Exactly.
Which can be very uncomfortable.
Exactly.
Uncomfortable. I love that. Dr. Brian, before I let you go, I have to ask, what is gratitude to you? Do you have a gratitude practice and how has it contributed to your current life?
Ooh, I do have a gratitude practice. I would say I don't do pen to paper as much as I used to in the mornings, but I do have a 3-piece gratitude project in the morning that I call my gratitude project, that I ask myself 3 questions. and I say, who's Brian? Who in Brian's life right now has been impactful and he can connect with today and thank? And who can Brian connect with today that he can impact? And for me, that creates this gratitude around the day that there's an opportunity for that day to go out and actually execute. So that's my way.
I love that. I love that. I love that. And I think what you've highlighted throughout our entire conversation mm-hmm. is the power of questions yeah. and the impact that that can have on who you become and what your life outcome is. Oh, Dr. Brian, you've got to come back because we only scratched the surface. I didn't get to all the other things I wanted to get into because I just,
oh my God, we were enjoying convos too much. I apologize, listeners.
You know, listeners, no apology necessary. Sorry, not sorry. Hop on the Clubhouse and follow Dr. Brian McElderry because I'm telling you, the most fascinating conversations happen on Clubhouse that will literally change your life if you let them. And mm-hmm. Dr. Brian, you are incredible as a human being, as a man, as a servant, as a coach, as all the things you do. I am so grateful you had time in your busy schedule to come on the show so I could introduce you to my audience who I know have thoroughly enjoyed this conversation. Thank you.
I appreciate you. And last thing I will say to the audience really quick is the four buckets of life I always tell people to fill every single day if you can is health, wealth, love, and happiness. If you in some day can check off one box, right? I'd moved. I checked my finances. I loved on somebody. And I smiled today. That's the things.
You are winning at life. You are winning.
That's a start. That's a start.
Dr. Eldry, Dr. Brian, you got me all tongue twisted because I'm just marinating on so much goodness of what you said. Where can people find you? The links will be in the show notes, listeners, as you know, but just say it for those who are auditory. Where can people find you? How can they connect with you?
Yeah. Thank you so much again, Michelle. So you can find me at my website, brianmceldery.com. That's BrianMceldery. And it's Dr. the Dr. McElderry, my last name on all the social networks, or you can just Google my name and I'll pop right up with all the stuff I've got going on. So that's my tag to everything is Dr. McElderry.
Keep it simple, keep it easy. And of course, listeners, as you know, I hook you up every episode. Link in the show notes to click and go. I know you've enjoyed this conversation. Let me know that you want Dr. Brian back. I'm sure he will be more than happy to accommodate when his schedule allows. I would love to bring him back for you all because I know that he has impacted you just in this conversation, just like he has impacted me. It's just been incredible. Now, listeners, as I always say, keep walking, always, always keep walking, ask those questions, answer in truth, but never, ever stop walking. Because if you continue to walk, you will reach your destiny, you will reach your destination. And on the journey, I always encourage you to choose gratitude.
As you know, every single episode, I end with my encouragement for you to choose gratitude on your journey as you keep walking. But have you ever asked yourself, that's great, Michelle, but how do I do that? How do I implement gratitude? How do I choose gratitude? It's not easy living this life. And sometimes I don't feel very grateful. How do I incorporate gratitude into my daily life? Well, I've got you covered. Just for you, I have a Gateway to Gratitude mini course in the Successful Diligence School. There is a link in the show notes as well as a coupon code just for podcast listeners where you get 50% off. So head to the link in the show notes or successfuldiligence.com and click the school tab on the website. It will take you to the school and you can see the Gateway to Gratitude course, which walks you through how to implement gratitude into your daily life. Trust me, Gratitude and gratefulness, when implemented effectively, will change your life. You know, man.